This netcast is brought to you by the 8 Days of Geek Network.
All of your ears are belong to us.
On this episode of Aero Code 8, we've got more googly news. The RCBC, that's not a band, stay tuned to find out what it is, and the Facebook IPO. We're all going to get rich. Probably not. Stay tuned. You're listening to Aero Code 8. This is episode 6. I'm your host, Jesse Miller, and joining me, as always, the techno-Gaelic, Sam Briggs.
Welcome back, everybody.
All right. Extremely, unbelievably, just eyes popping out of your head, exciting week. No, not really. There's not really anything going on, to be completely honest. Every week I scour the internet for more news, more tech news, anything I can use to put on the site, on any of our podcasts. This week, I gotta say, I came up really empty-handed. I tried everything. So, without further ado, the most exciting episode you'll ever hear.
It's close to it.
Yes, okay.
Hopefully, the only.
I'll try to make it interesting. Mm-hmm. All right. The first thing I want to cover is the fact that Google Chrome has been one of my favorite desktop browsers. When I was on Windows, it was my favorite. I'm on Mac. It was my favorite for a little while. They issued an update that kind of broke it for me, and then they fixed it. So now I'm still using Google Chrome. I love the way that it syncs all of my bookmarks across all my Google Chrome instances. The tabbing system is fantastic. You know, it's just a very quick and snappy browser. Something that I really wish the Android browser had. It doesn't. Until now. Now, this is only on ice cream sandwich tablets and handsets as of right now. But Google has released Google Chrome for Android. It's in beta. You can give it a shot if you have an ice cream tablet or ice cream sandwich tablet.
If you have an ice cream tablet, I want that.
Yes. If you have an ice cream phone, that's something special.
Oh, yeah.
Very short-lived, though. The battery life sucks.
Battery life sucks, and its operating temperature is well below normal, generally below 32 degrees.
Hey, at least it won't have that, you know, liquid molten lava thing that your phone has every once in a while in your pocket, where it has it almost has like a battery seizure and gets really hot for no reason.
Or like a Palm Pre plugged into a 2.5-amp charger with Wi-Fi tethering to a desktop for an hour.
I'm surprised it's not melting through your desk.
Well, it's on my bed.
Oh.
I'm levin' for that insurance claim.
Those sheets are polyester. All right. Yeah, so Google Chrome coming out on Android. It allows you to sync your tabs from your desktop to your phone or your tablet. Allows you to do the same bookmark syncing that I talked about with the desktop version. So, lots of good stuff. It looks fantastic. I mean, if you watch Google's video, it's a beautiful browser. So, I can't wait for it to come out to Gingerbread devices so I can give it a try. Or, Google, if you'd like to give me an ice cream sandwich device, I would absolutely love to give it a try.
Well, there is one thing it doesn't have.
What does it not have?
Support for Flash, and Adobe has announced that it will not get it.
Oh!
It's going to be a huge deal in a year or two from now, but that might be a deal breaker for some people as of right now.
You know,
but Adobe is not going to support it.
I don't know. I mean, see, now, if the phone itself did not support it, if you were to say the Galaxy Nexus does not support Flash, that I would have a problem with. But the fact of the matter is that you can use Google Chrome, and then if you need to use Flash, there are a billion other browsers on Android that you can go to the market and install for free that cover Flash.
Yep.
So that's
true.
That's the beauty of the open system, is that you can replace your browser if you don't want to use Chrome all the time.
Right. It is mitigated.
Yeah.
So unlike you poor, poor iPhone users.
Yes, you guys don't get Flash. You will never get Flash. You have never had Flash. Congratulations. You're Flashless. So
I like Flash.
Yeah.
Not lying. I hate Flash.
I hate Flash to death. It kills my battery constantly, but sometimes you have to have it. I mean, you know, if you do most of your work from a mobile device, you're going to run into instances where you need to have it.
Yes.
All right. You know something else that has gone the way of the dodo?
Flawless Segway.
And that is Google Wave.
Well done. I was wondering how you were going to tie that into this episode.
I was working on it. I really was. Google Wave, if some of you remembered, I'm constantly made fun of because I actually used it. And no one else did, obviously. I was one of like five people on Google Wave. It was basically... See, even now it's hard to explain. Think of a chat room that is complete collaboration, to where you can insert text and video and pictures and take polls and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, have it update visually right in front of you. Basically, what Google Docs does right now. Which most people have not even thought of the fact that Wave tested it and then Google put it into Google Docs. So, but Google Docs, hey, if it does it, it does it. I don't care where I have to have it done, it does it. So Google Wave was being shut down by Google. They already said, you know, we're not going to do it anymore. We're going to shut it down. Get all your waves out. But up until just recently, you were still able to use Google Wave if you wanted to. Now it is only read-only. You cannot add anything to Google Wave. You can't wave at anyone anymore. It's just read-only.
I was invited to use it, but I don't use email. It's nice, though. The features for Google Docs, for the one time I've gotten to use it before they locked me out of it, that was awesome. I have to say that the instant, that chat room feel, I grew up in chat rooms and IRC chat rooms, and that's exactly what it is. It's like a chat room that you had all your email functionality to it for pictures or text documents or anything, which was awesome.
Oh yeah. I mean, it was poorly executed, but it was a great little thing. And like I said, now most of that functionality has been put into Google Docs. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can still use.
If ever I get back into it, will probably replace me using email.
Oh, I'm sure. No, it's Google Docs is good. For me, email is still, you know, a lot of people say, why don't we just get rid of email? I don't think I could. I use my email so much, you know. All right, that's just a blurb. Nothing really to talk about there. Nope. It's going read-only because it's on the tail end of its life cycle. Next step is Deadsville. It's just going to shut down. You'll be done.
Just a wiki page.
It'll just be a redirect. No one Google. You know, just do something that Google would never do. Just park the domain to, like, GoDaddy or something.
That would be awesome.
All right. The next thing, Sam, this is your story, and I actually have it in my notes as really confusing biological computer.
Yeah.
Because this and makes... That, it makes...
That is...
Go ahead.
Oh, that is exactly what it is.
It makes my brain hurt, dude. Holy crap. I mean, I read some really inside baseball technological articles, but man... I'm going to let you take this one, because I'm not even going to try.
Okay. Well, I will do my best. It's over my head, too. Don't blame me. I'm a college dropout.
Brace yourself, folks.
All right. This is a computer that is entirely comprised of DNA. Dun, dun, dun. It was developed by Scripps, which is a company based in California. The Scripps Research Institute. It is more or less a computer that is in a test tube comprised entirely of DNA. And whenever they add a chemical to it, it outputs a set of data. So much like really old computers, like the old ones that put out the that long tape that had all the numbers or letters on it that would read out certain information. That is effectively what it is, minus the paper.
That's actually that's not a bad description, to be honest.
I was really thinking of how to explain it.
A lot easier than this article makes it sound.
Yeah, but that is exactly what it is. And the whole thing behind this is that DNA can store way, way, way more information than any and all the hard drives in the world. It's not as fast as even a basic hard drive in regards to sending out that information. But it does two things better. Beyond storing that large amount of information, it works in parallels. Something that we are still struggling to get hardware, electronic and manufactured hardware to do. If you input this chemical and this chemical and this chemical, the fact is it actually fires all of it. So you can process three calculations at once, which is beyond, it does a lot more than that, but on a simple state, whereas we have a desktop that can do one or two things at a time, it, at its basic level, already does many things at once. So you can get large amounts of information faster than even our best computers can. Hmm. Will any of our listeners ever see this in their lifetime in an everyday device? Probably not. But will their information on their emails and on their Facebook possibly one day in their lifetime be backed up to this, backed up in test tubes of DNA? Possibly.
Hmm.
Yes. The other thing is that it already, because it is completely molecular, already can send and transfer information to other molecular, I don't want to say organisms, but constructs, I guess, so that it can pass that information along naturally, because that's just a chemical process. It functions the exact same way as our brain telling our hand to click the mouse. So as of right now, while it's a standalone computer, in the future they may be able to chain reactions and take information created by one and send that information to another one to use it in its own algorithm, and then eventually output that information to a whole room full of these things and do massive calculations that way, all without the use of electricity or hardware or, resistors.
Hmm. And see, from what I'm understanding, this is these DNA computers, as a theory, they aren't really, they're not going to replace traditional computers, because the DNA ones are supposedly, because they're a chemical reaction, I can only assume that they're slow within reason.
Yes.
And I mean, in comparison to today's computers, but they can hold so much information. That's where their usefulness is going to be. My question is, how long until the Matrix boots up and we're storing DNA, we're storing Facebook on like 5 dead people? Screw hard drives. I got dead people.
Oh, it would be, I give it hopefully X years plus one, where X years is how long I live.
That's the way to do it. Oh no, grandma died. That just means I get to upgrade my hard drive.
That's a disturbing use for it.
Well, it's crossed somebody's mind. This guy's. Mm-hmm. No. Anyway. So yeah, that's exciting yet horribly, horribly confusing.
Yes.
My brain hurts. All right.
Just had to say that really, we will probably never have an article this advanced again. But I thought it was the coolest thing I'd heard all week, because really, this was a really boring week. So for those of you, are we going to post the link with the episode?
Yes, I always do.
Okay. All right. Then if any of you listeners out there happen to be a super genius that's also capable of explaining things well, please shoot me an email.
Yes.
I'm deeply interested in figuring out what other applications this can be used for and or why it's not really that big of a deal if it doesn't happen to be that big of a deal.
And for the rest of you, if you want your brain to bleed again, you can click on it and read it again. All right. Our next story. This one's the big one. We saved the best for last. We figured we'd go out on this one. Facebook has filed for IPO. That is initial public offering. That means they're going to be putting out stock. Sam, do you remember the Google IPO when that happened?
Ooh. Do I remember it? Yes. Yeah. Do I remember details about it? No.
It was... It was pretty spectacular from my viewpoint. I mean, you know, that's one of those things. Now, whenever Google went IPO, it was like, oh gosh, it was $85 a share, I believe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, wow. $85. Yeah, I looked it up. Okay, $85 a share is what it actually debuted at. Now, do you want to know what Google's price is right now?
Sure.
$606.77 is what it closed at today.
Wow. So a greater than seven times increase. Yeah,
that's a little bit of an increase there. So imagine if you had gotten in on the ground floor of Google's IPO, what you would be worth today. It made a lot of rich people, a lot of them. Mm-hmm. Facebook is, I can only assume, going to be no different. Because Facebook has filed for $5 billion worth of an IPO. Now, you might say, that sounds like an unbelievable amount of money. But it's not. Because Facebook is valued at nearly $100 billion. That means Facebook is only putting up approximately 5% of the company to do IPO with. I'm assuming the rest of it's probably pretty much claimed by everybody else. A lot of startups, you know, when they hire someone, they don't have the money to pay them, so they say, here, we'll give you this much stock and this much pay. And then that way, when the stock does hit, these people get rich. Like I said, a lot of rich secretaries are going to be walking around. So, Facebook's IPO, like I said, $5 billion worth. Facebook right now has 145 million active users a month. Those numbers are staggering. Just staggering. 250 million photos uploaded per day. 2.7 billion likes and comments per day. I mean, people spend their entire lives on Facebook. I don't like Facebook, so, I mean, do you use Facebook at all?
Yes and no. I use it to complain. And if ever you talk to Brandon again, you know, ask him about my status updates, and he will say they are mostly negative. And I do that intentionally because I'm actually working to see how long it takes for everyone to unfriend me and leave me as a solo Facebook user without friends. I'm not joking. That's my goal.
Awesome.
It's not going well. I get about 3 new requests a day. I have over 100 people in Facebook purgatory, which is the friend request zone where I didn't hit yes, but didn't hit no.
Dang.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. Apparently people find me funny, I guess. I have no idea.
Well, you know. Now, Facebook will be filed under FB for its stock symbol. Go figure. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else it would have been. And Zuckerberg will be taking quite a pay cut. His salary as of right now is $500,000 a year. It's pretty good. Pretty good. Going down to $1. Now, of course, because of all the stock, he's going to be more than comfortable. I really doubt we ever have to worry about Zuckerberg. Now, what worries me, and I'll get your feedback here, Zuckerberg started Facebook. He ran Facebook. He was the creator, the President Gov, the Big Cheese, the Head Honcho, everything that is Facebook is pretty much Mark Zuckerberg. Do you think, now you look at the way Apple was, for instance, and Apple was, you know, conceived and run by Steve Jobs, and while, yeah, he did take some other people's ideas, he was pretty much the driving force behind the entire company. And then he left, Apple went completely downhill, came back, and he brought it back up. Looking at that story and then looking at Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg, I'm worried that having an IPO, having to worry about quarterly earnings and, you know, fiscal years and all this stuff, and your fiduciary responsibilities to your stockholders and everything like this is going to not only put more work onto Zuckerberg to where you can focus less on Facebook as a whole, but I also see people taking a chance to remove some power from Mark Zuckerberg. And that worries me in the fact that the one driving force behind Facebook that has kept it going and kept it innovating is being slowly weaned off. Are you as worried about that as I am?
Yes and no. The key thing is it seems to be a way for Zuckerberg to step out. I think he's probably going to gladly cede some of the power at this point in time. I mean, taking a $1 salary and using the rest in stocks, that's normally a punishment and or a, hey, don't screw up payment, you know, is $1 a year. That's what most CEOs take whenever something has happened and the company's in a shaky zone. This is not, Facebook is not anywhere shaky. They are not in any, you know, they don't have any competition. I don't care whether MySpace makes a slow revival or if eventually, I don't even remember what Google's service is right now. It has completely left my mind.
Google Plus, holy crap.
Google Plus, G Plus, yep. I don't remember.
Jeepers!
Is anyone using that? What? Are they going to make that read only soon? I'm confused.
God, I use it. I use it a lot. It's because I hate Facebook, really. I think is why I use it.
What are the key differences as of right now between Facebook and its largest competitor, which would be G+.
For me, it's integration. Because I use so many Google services that Google Plus just comes naturally. They're all connected. Facebook is kind of a walled garden for me.
Okay.
But also the fact that all my G+ friends and all the people in my circles are, I don't want to say professional, because some of them are just regular old people, but they are, they're not telling me what they ate for dinner. And I don't have to hear about what their boyfriend said behind their backs.
Okay.
Maybe it's just the fact that I friend everybody who friends me on Facebook, because the big secret that people tell me not to tell anyone, I always get these tips from certain people where, like, they say, you know, don't tell anyone you don't do this, or don't tell anyone you don't do this. We want you to appear like you're connected in ways that people can't even imagine. Fact of the matter is, I don't even really use Facebook. It looks like I'm updating, but really, that's Twitter.
I noticed that.
Yeah, I don't actually update Facebook.
I've noticed that more and more, actually, that more of my friends are using other means to interact with Facebook than Facebook itself, which that worries me because, well, Facebook doesn't make money if you're not seeing their ads because you're using Twitter and uploading straight to Facebook.
Exactly.
So that is something to worry about. And again, something that possibly, if Zuckerberg knows this but doesn't want to step on anyone's toes or doesn't see a reason to step on anyone's toes, because he is so much for the evolution of software and services, he's, when it comes to that, he is more dedicated than that than running a business. This could very well be his means of stepping back and, you know, to where when everything hits the fan, you know, he'll be able to walk away clean.
Gotcha.
That's my guess. I completely, yeah, that's kind of made that up as I went, but yes.
Now, we do have a link in the show notes to a Gizmodo article that it's actually a letter from Mark Zuckerberg describing the IPO and what the idealistic Facebook mission is. So you can go there and read that. It's quite lengthy. Otherwise, I would read it. It's it looks to be at least 3 or 4 pages. It's pretty big. So go there. Check it out if you're interested. Now, see, when you mentioned the $1 salary, Steve Jobs actually took a $1 salary for quite a long time. He actually ended up passing away at a $1 salary. So, you know, when he came back to when he passed, it was $1. The reason he did it is because he was quoted as saying, "I don't want to be the richest man in the graveyard." You know, it's one of those things where and Zuckerberg strikes me as this kind of person. Seeing his home on several tech websites and things like that, he strikes me as the kind of person that knows when enough money is enough. He knows that he's not going to use, you know, $5 billion over the course of his lifespan. It's just not going to happen. And he has probably got billions upon billions at this point. You know, this IPO is going to literally, I can only imagine this is probably going to skyrocket him to the upper parts of the top 100 rich people in the U.S., you know, or in the world even.
Easily.
Yeah, so.
Easily.
There's no need. I mean, if I were in his position, yeah, I'd take a dollar. You have to be getting paid for your job, obviously. Because, I mean, that's just a legality thing. So, yeah, I would be cool with taking a dollar because I've got, you know, billions of dollars. It wouldn't even matter to me at this point. You know, and he has a pretty modest home and stuff like that. So he strikes me as a Steve Jobs type character in the fact that he knows when enough money is enough, and he's fine with not making, you know, not constantly making unbelievable amounts of money.
Mm-hmm. And he's definitely a reinvestor.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely a reinvestor.
Definitely. All right.
Not somebody to generally sit.
Look at that. For a week with no tech news, we actually made it run a half hour. Woo!
Congrats to us.
Yes, we are fantastic. Get used to it. You can't buy this kind of awesomeness. That's why we give it away for free. All right. Sam, you want to tell people where they can find, follow, and stalk you?
Okay, you can find me, well, obviously on Facebook, since we were just talking about that. I'm Sam Briggs. However, if you send me a friend request, you're going to sit in Facebook purgatory because you're defeating my goal of no friends. you can find me on Twitter as the Manatee Man. You can find me, or you can email me at Gmail, themanateeman@gmail.com. On here, Sam Briggs at 8daysofgeek.com. Yes, that should be everywhere. I never remember all the places I'm at. So for this week, that's the only place I'm going to be for the next week.
Wherever you're at, there you are.
Yes.
All right. Well, for me, you can find pretty much all my stuff on about.me/Jesse Miller, if you want to go there. If you just want some real quick single links, I'm on Twitter at Pen of Doom. My email is jesse@8daysgeek.com. And other than that, I'm on pretty much everything. So just go there and type in Pen of Doom. You will probably find me.
Oh, yeah. I forgot I was supposed to make it about me. Was that what that was?
About.me.
Okay. Yeah, I'm supposed to do that too. Also, for those the Twitter contest last week, just letting you all have a quick update on that. I'm up 3 followers.
Really?
So, yeah. And like I said, that means 3 new topics, which this week was H.P. Lovecraft, because that was the anniversary of the Call of Cthulhu being published. I think I failed. I talked to a girl in Scotland. I guess it's a new topic.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I'm not really I've been posting a lot more if you haven't been following me.
I do follow you, and yeah, you're posting all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, and I posted about 8 days of geek, so there you go.
Nice.
I don't get Twitter. I do not get Twitter at all.
You know, as a matter of fact, Brandon, our Brandon, Brandon Williams, has been trying to get me more followers on Twitter, and he is. He told me one day, he texts me and he says, "Be really funny on Twitter today and post lots of pictures." And you know, you have any idea how hard? I mean, I would like to think I'm a slightly funny guy in my everyday life. However, you know how hard it is to be funny when someone asks you to be funny? I was trying to think of things all day, and I couldn't think of a single thing to put on Twitter that was funny. It was ridiculous. I don't understand it. As soon as he said, be funny, I immediately was the most unfunny person on the planet. It set my whole day off, man. I just couldn't do it.
Oh yeah. Next time, go through your Twitter, find old posts that were funny, delete them, and repost them.
Nice. Like I think it was probably my fifth post or something like that. It was what was it? Oh, if a robot does the robot, is it really the robot or is it just dancing?
See, there you go.
That's classic.
That is exactly what you need to do from now on.
That's classic comedy right there. All right. We're going to let you guys get back to that uber important stuff that you were doing. And you can join us next week, and hopefully there will actually be some news to talk about. And it won't be Facebook related, because we all... Facebook, yeah, not a good subject with me. I don't hate them as much as I hate AT&T. I'm so indifferent about Facebook.
Oh, that is sorry. For all you late listeners who haven't tuned out yet, AT&T has started throttling the top 5%. So watch out if you're the top 5% because you're being throttled.
I'm gonna throttle you.
Yep.
The bastards. I need to lay down some good old fashioned street justice on AT&T. Walk into De La Vega's office and be like, hey, you bastard. All right. Next week, guys, come back, please. Say goodbye, Sam.
Goodbye.
No, you're supposed to say goodbye, Sam.
Goodbye, Sam.
Do what I say. It puts the lotion in the basket.
I has no lotion.
Puts the lotion on its skin or it gets the hose again.